I could see him standing in my doorway, and he looked just like Robert Young and Father Knows Best.
Well, that's not a bad image. He's always comfortable.
Yeah, and he was my favorite guy on TV. I just thought he was so perfect in their whole family, and I was wondering why mine wasn't like that. And I was looking at this guy, and he had on the overcoat, he had on the hat, the briefcase, and all this. And it's 90 degrees out, right? And the cashmere overcoat, all that.
Weird.
And I'm thinking to myself, why is this guy dressed like this at night and
in my room?
In this heat. Why is he standing here in my doorway? And I thought, well, I'm going to have to pretend like I'm asleep, because I had, you know, watched a lot of Perry Mason, and I knew that if you could identify the criminal, your odds of getting killed were high.
And are you waiting for your parents or somebody to come to your rescue?
No, because I'm figuring that if I yell out or something, my father's shaving in the bathroom, door's closed, water's running in the sink, he's got an electric shaver going, and if I made a big commotion, I thought, well, you know, maybe something horrible would happen. And if I just stayed quiet, I thought, well, maybe he'll just not harm me. Maybe he's looking for some gold or jewelry or something. I couldn't quite figure out what was going on, but I just thought it was better to be quiet unless he tried to harm me or my infant sister.
Yeah, you're ready to scream if that happens.
I'm ready to scream if anything's happening, if anything bad happens. So, but I thought at that point, I was really curious about him myself because he was so oddly dressed. And I thought, oh, this is odd. So I just kept my eyes closed as he walked into my room. He stood next to my bed for a moment or two. Then he went out my bedroom window and hopped out. I was on the first level. And I went to the window about, I would say a few seconds afterwards. I wanted to wait to give him a chance to get off our property. And then I went to the window, and I looked, and I saw the two spaceships in the park across the street.
In Memorial Park, Royal Oak.
Yeah, Memorial
I know that
Park.
One. Okay.
And it's on Star Road, oddly enough. And years later,
right,
when I went back to show some people where it had happened, there was a drive-in restaurant on the corner called The Orbit, with a UFO going around in the circle above it.
Do you remember the year this might have been?
Yes, this was actually when I was 8 years old, 1956.
56, okay.
And I had just said to my dad a few months before it happened, there was all these articles in the newspaper about UFO sightings in Michigan.
Michigan had a lot, of course. In the 60s, Hynek went crazy out there.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, wow, is this real? Are we being contacted by other, you know, races from other planets? Like, that's really exciting, Dad. What do you think of that? And my father had this genius IQ, and I really respected him a lot. And he said, yeah, I think it's possible. He says, but I don't think there may be a little green man. I don't know. He says, but I think that we're being visited, probably. So I thought, well, that's fascinating. And then when I saw these two spaceships in the park across the street, I thought, oh, well, I'm seeing them. You know, other people have seen them. Now it's my turn. And I was all excited. I was really, really excited.
But not scared.
No, I was fascinated, actually. And I don't know how I knew at 8 years old about telepathic communication. But I did. And I said to them, when I saw the ships, I'm wondering who you are. Would you come on over and play? I'm not afraid, I said. I'd like to meet you. And I would jokingly say, come play in my sandbox.
That's pretty gutsy for an eight-year-old.
I didn't know fear back then at all. I still have a hard time with it. So anyway, and then I was standing there staring at the ships, and one looked like a powder blue, and it was like dish-shaped, and it was beautiful, really luminescent.
How big was it?
I would estimate about 75 feet across.
Okay.
Pretty big. you know, maybe 100 feet.
Yeah.
It was hovering just above the trees there in Memorial Park. And the other one that was next to it was like a round ship, perfectly round. Now, I don't know if it was on its side or what. And it was a beautiful color rose. And I was just mesmerized by them. They looked so etheric and gorgeous. And then I thought, I wonder if everybody else is seeing them. So I stuck my head out the window, and I was looking down the backyards of everybody, up and down the, you know, the backyards, and I didn't see anyone out. And I thought, you know, just when the most important thing in my life is happening, no one's around, you know. And then I thought, I didn't dare step away from the window because I thought they might be gone by the time I get back.
Do you think that these beings are the same ones that Michael has encountered?
Well, I do know that they are, because things that happened afterwards in my life, it did let me know that they were higher spiritual beings. And so I'm looking at them, and I'm wondering, okay, you know, who are you? And I'm going, I'm waiting for a telepathic transmission to hit me. And I couldn't really get anything. So I jokingly said to them, well, either I'm a bad sender or you're bad senders, or I'm not getting a thing. You know, I'm a bad receiver. I said, I'm not getting a thing. And with that, one ship went up, and it made this noise like, And then the other one went up and went, real fast like that, made that high-pitched noise. And then they both dematerialized. And I was like, real fast, you know. They were just there 1 second and gone the next.
You were not beamed aboard at that point?
No. That was my first sighting, and that I knew they were real. And I ran to tell my father. I knocked on the bathroom door. I said, Dad, I have scientific proof this really happened. Look at my nails and my mouth. And he started laughing. And I said, I'm going to the phone now. I'm going to call the news.
He said that, or you said that?
I said that. I said, I'm going to go call the news. Everybody needs to know about the UFOs I saw. And he said, don't do that. And I said, why not? He said, because they'll lock you up and there will be nothing I'll be able to do about it.
In those days, he was right. You know, Aurora, they did not take these reports seriously